This evening we're turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we'll read from the verse 14, and then we'll go a couple of verses into the next chapter. So it's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're beginning our reading at the verse number 14. The inspired penman said, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should henceforth, or should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he has said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Amen. And we'll end our reading at the second verse of the sixth chapter of 2 Corinthians. Let's just unite in prayer, please, briefly, together. And let's pray for help this evening. Our Heavenly Father, how true it is that time is now fleeting. The moments are passing. Passing from you and from me. Lord, we realize, O God, that life at best is very brief. It is like the falling of a leaf. We have been reminded of that within this community. Lord, that our time on earth is brief. And Lord, someday our sojourn on this rolling sphere will come to a conclusion and a time of termination. And yet, Lord, we shall live beyond the remit of time. We'll go into eternity where the soul will live until the day of resurrection, when body and soul will be reunited again. And then, at the judgment, O God, sinners will be cast away forever into everlasting burnings. Lord, we pray that thou wilt therefore solemnize our hearts. Cause, Lord, thy word, though simple this evening, Lord, may it get a hold of some soul. And may there be a turning on to Christ. May salvation visit this house. We pray these our prayers, and through the Savior's precious name, amen and amen. I believe it was a few months ago that I spoke about the power of imagination, and I asked you on that occasion, I think it was the beginning of December, to employ that God-given faculty as we thought of the gospel message on that occasion. Well, tonight I want you to do the same. I want you to use that imagination that God has given you, because tonight I want everyone, without exception, everyone in this gospel meeting to imagine that you have now just 30 minutes to live. You've now just got 30 minutes to live. When those 30 minutes have concluded, your soul will leave your body, and you'll either be in God's heaven or you will be in God's hell. I want you to imagine that you've just 30 minutes to live. To help you imagine that, I want to use something that I purchased this week that I trust will enable you to see how quickly 30 minutes go. This little sand timer. Within this little hourglass or sand timer, there are 30 minutes. 30 minutes to live. And I'm going to turn it over because your last 30 minutes have just begun. I want you to think of that. Your last 30 minutes on earth has just begun. 5 seconds already gone. 10 have slipped through the hourglass. 15 seconds of your last 30 minutes on earth have already passed. Imagining that you have just now less than 30 minutes to live, I want to preach, therefore, your final gospel message. I want to preach a message that I've entitled 30 Minutes to Live. As time slips away, as a grain of sand after grain of sand falls through the sand timer, I have no time tonight, this evening, to tell you some fancy story. I don't have time to waste any of your closing moments of life to tell you some lengthy illustration, but rather, I am constrained by time to keep my comments concise, brief, and pointed. Because within 29 minutes, you're going out into God's great eternity. 3 classes of people are found in this church service tonight, all of which I want to challenge in this meeting this evening. I want to challenge you in light of the fact that you have now less than 30 minutes to live. I want to firstly address the unconverted that are gathered in this preaching place tonight. When I speak of the unconverted, I'm speaking about those who know nothing of God's saving power. You who have never experienced the new birth. You whose sins have never been washed in the precious blood of Christ. You who have never been reconciled to God. I want you to imagine that you've just been told that you've got 30 minutes to live. It's not long. It's not long before death will take you into its cold embrace. It's not long before your soul is going to vacate and leave your body and go out and meet its maker. It's not going to be long, less than 29 minutes now, before you reap the wages of your sin. You have no time to go and dance your last dance on some night floor's dance, or nightclub's dance floor, because the time you would ever reach that venue, your 30 minutes would be expired. You have no time to go to the local and consume your last cocktail, to sink your last shot, or to down your last pint. You have only now 28 minutes to live. That Easter holiday that you have paid for and planned, you may forget about, because in less than 30 minutes, you're going to be dead. That Easter holiday, that summer holiday that you've planned, well, you may forget about that because in less the time than it takes for an episode of your favorite soap to be watched, you're going to be out into God's great eternity. Now, let me ask you, in light of that you've less than now 27 minutes to live, I want to ask you the question, what are you going to do with those remaining 27 minutes? Time is slipping away. Time that'll never be gathered up again. Time to get right with God. Time to be reconciled to Him. What are you going to do with your last minutes on earth, sinner? You're unconverted. You're a stranger to grace and God. You've thought to yourself that you're going to have many days from this day, but you've only got 27 minutes to live. Are you going to stay in your sin? Are you going to waste the time that God has given you? Are you going to waste the minutes like the minutes of life that you've wasted for so many years? Are you going to allow this opportunity, this opportunity to be reconciled to God to slip by? Are you going to stay stubbornly in your sin? You have only 26 minutes to live. 26 minutes. And you're going out to meet God. 26 minutes and you're either being God's heaven or God's hell for all of eternity. Are you going to take the risk and to die without a saving interest in Jesus Christ? Are you going to take the risk hoping that all that the Bible says that awaits the unrepentant sinner with regard to heaven or with regard to hell and the darkness and the blackness and the torment and the agony that will exist eternally in hell for the unrepentant sinner? Are you going to risk it all thinking that it's merely but fiction and fairy tale? Let me ask you, are you going to presume that after these 30 minutes are up, that God's going to give you another 30. That you've got many days in front of you to enjoy life. And when you feel within your own self that death is approaching, then you're going to make sure of God's salvation. Let me ask you, in the now 26 minutes that you have to live, are you going to spurn the offer of the gospel again? Are you going to ignore the Spirit's strivings with your soul again? Are you going to trample underfoot the blood of Jesus Christ again? Are you going to refuse to yield to the claims of the gospel again? Or are you, with now less than 26 minutes to live, are you tonight going to make sure of God's salvation? Are you going to bow your head and heart now where you sit before the meeting's concluded? Are you going to bow your head and heart and seek God for mercy before the meeting has even concluded? You may say, "Preacher, if time is slipping away, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be reconciled to God? What must I do to make sure of heaven?" Well, I don't have time, for time is no luxury on my side this evening. I don't have time to be complicated tonight. I don't have time, as it were, to waste your time and using language that is beyond you tonight, so that you would then waste time to try and decipher what I'm trying to say tonight. So I boil, as it were, my counsel down to two things that you must do if you are to be saved from your sin in the last 25 minutes of your life. The first thing that you need to do is to turn. You need to turn from your sin. You need to turn from your sin. The Bible calls that turning repentance. The Shorter Catechism said repentance unto life is a saving grace, whereby a sinner, out of a true sense of sin and apprehension of the mercy of God, doth with grief and hatred of his sin turn from it to God with full purpose of and endeavor after new obedience, salvation. And all blessings that flow out of salvation will never be yours, the sinners, if you do not repent of your sin. All of this talk about trusting in Jesus, having a relationship with Jesus, falls way short of what God demands if a person is to be sure that their sins are forgiven and they are ready for heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke about the need of repentance on the part of the sinner if they are ever to enter into God's heaven. Mark 1, verse 14 and 15, Jesus came on to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Mark 2, verse 17, when Jesus heard it, he said unto them, "They that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Luke 13, verse 3, "I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." So let me say a number of quick things, because time is not on your side. It's not on your side. You have less than 23 minutes to live. if God even gives you that. You may not even have 23 seconds. You may not even have 23 milliseconds. What do I say then about biblical repentance? First of all, biblical repentance begins with a knowledge of sin. A knowledge of sin. Romans 3 verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. I tell you, when any sinner is confronted by the moral law of God, that sinner quickly discovers that they've been living under the greatest of delusions. You see, the sinner, instead of them thinking or realizing, whenever the law confronts them that they are a good individual, the sinner, having been confronted by the law, that law that every sinner has broken, in letter and in spirit, all 10 commandments broken. Broken by the sinner. When the sinner comes and is confronted with the broken law of God, that sinner starts to discern something. They come to the reality that they're not a good individual, but rather that they are a wicked, guilty, corrupt, evil individual in the sight of a holy God. You see, as a result of a knowledge of the law, the sinner's pride is damaged, and the high thoughts that the sinner has concerning themselves quickly melts away, because they begin to see what a great sinner they actually are in the sight of God. And that's the first step to biblical repentance. The second step, biblical repentance goes on to work a sorrow for sin. The heart of the sinner, having been tenderized by the law of God, the very hammer of God, that sinner's heart is touched, and they begin to experience deep remorse over their sin. They're cut to the heart. They're cut to the heart to think that they had lived so madly and so wickedly before God in their sin. They mourn over the time that they've wasted in sin, over the talents that have been misused and misspent. They think about how God has been dishonored by their life. And so there is a sorrow for sin that enters the heart. In the third place, biblical repentance produces a confession of sin. A confession of sin. J.C. Ryle said, the tongue of a penitent man is loose. He feels he must speak to that God against whom he has sinned. Something within him tells he must cry to God, to pray to God, to talk with God about the state of his own soul. He must pour out his heart. He must acknowledge his iniquities at the throne of grace. They are a heavy burden within him, and he can no longer keep silent. And so when the sinner comes under conviction of sin, as biblical repentance begins to outwork in a sinner's life, that sinner goes before God pleading nothing, but is willing to say, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. They're willing to say, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. When a sinner goes to God with such a confession of sin, you've got the third step in biblical repentance. Biblical repentance finally shows itself in a thorough abandonment of sin. The breaking off from sin will be evident in the life of the repenting sinner. Their course of conduct, it'll be entirely changed. A new king has come to reign within the heart. A new nature has come to take possession of the life. God commands the repentant sinner. What God commands the repentant sinner now does, and that which God forbids, they desire to avoid. Yes, a new life begins, because if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I wonder, is there a sinner with probably now only 20 minutes to live? Is there a sinner in this house tonight who's ready to repent of their sin? Time is running out. Let me ask you, what else have you to do? What else have you to do in light of the fact that you might be dead in 20 minutes? What else have you to do, sinner? What else is more important in light of death's nearness? What more important thing could you invest your time in the matter of your soul's salvation. There's nothing more important than this matter tonight. However, I remind you that repentance of sin is not enough. It's not enough. A criminal standing in front of a judge saying that they are sorry for their deeds and that they're never going to do it again will not result in a judge letting that criminal go free. That criminal cannot go free. Why? Because the law has been violated. The law must be appeased. The law must be satisfied before that criminal can go free. The debt to the law must be paid. The punishment ascribed to the crime must be fulfilled. The criminal can stand and say, "I'm sorry for what I did. I'll never do it again, judge." The judge will say, "Doesn't matter. The law must be upheld. Payment must be made." And that brings us to the very thought that the law must be satisfied. God's law must be satisfied. Just being sorry for sin and resolving never to commit sin again, it's simply not enough. The law, sinner, has been broken. Payment must be made. The law must be upheld. It must be satisfied. And that brings me to consider the one who has paid the price of the broken law, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, biblical repentance, it's never alone. It always comes with a companion. Who is the companion of repentance? It's saving faith. Saving faith comes with biblical repentance, faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And that then brings me to my second thing, sinner, you must do. If you are to be sure of heaven tonight, not only turn, but trust. Trust. I trust I'm simple tonight. Trust. That trust must be placed in the right place, the proper place. Sinner, you're not to trust the church. You're not to trust the partaking of the sacraments. You're not to trust the performance of religious rites. You're not to trust in the paying of money into some religious organization. You're not to trust in the attendance of some pilgrimage to secure God's salvation. But rather, sinner, you are to trust in the person and in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Saving faith takes hold of Christ. Trust entirely on Christ. It's not just simply a believing that Christ has lived and died. Faith that saves is a confident, continuous confession of total dependence on and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to meet all of the requirements on your behalf if you're ever to enter into God's eternal kingdom. It is the surrendering entirely of your life in complete trust to Him who can only do what is required to reconcile you to God. And there's a very simple test on whether or not you have got saving faith or not. And here it is. The very simple test is this, the honest answering of this question: what or who are you trusting in to see you safely to heaven? If your answer is something apart from Jesus Christ, then you have not got saving faith. You haven't got saving faith. Time is fleeting. Now, by my reckoning, you have probably only something like now 15 minutes to live. So let me ask you, will you turn and trust in Jesus Christ? Listen to these words. Words that we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. Behold now. Not 15 minutes from now. Now. Just now. where you sit. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is a day of salvation. Sinner, time is going. Time is passing by. To the arms of Jesus fly. Be in time. But I want to address a second class of person found among us tonight, and that is the backslider. The backslider. You know, backslider, you began this message with just 30 minutes to live as well. There's probably, as I've said, only half of that time now left. For years, you have been away from God. For decades, there has been a declension in your relationship with Him. And tonight, your heart is found in a cold and careless state. You've lost that sense of pardon and assurance and acceptance in Jesus Christ that you once had. The witness of the Spirit within your heart, well, that's now gone. It's not that you have fallen into some kind of gross sin. But over the last just number of months, maybe years, your heart has grown colder. Your interest in spiritual things has become less and less, and your love for the Savior has waned. It really has died away. Instead of going forward in your Christian life, you've gone back into the world, back to your old friends, back to your old habits, back to your old practices, back to your old language. Back to your sin. There's been backslidings of heart as well as backslidings indeed. There have been secret wanderings just as much as there have been open wanderings. Surely, if there be one in this meeting house who finds themselves in such a state, with so little time remaining, think of it. With so little time remaining, you surely don't want to go out and meet God in your present state of spiritual declension, do you? Do you want to go out and meet God in 15 minutes, as you are? To go out and meet Him? Have you ever thought about what it would be to meet Him in your state? That state of coldness. That state of departure. That state of wandering away from God. Have you ever thought, backslider, what it would it be to go out and meet God in that present state? Oh, I know it's your intention to come back to Him. Of course it is. I know it's your thought to return to Him at some stage and to walk with Him and to talk with Him again as you once did. Of course, that's your intention. But what if you'd only 10 minutes to live? What are you going to do with those minutes? Have you ever thought what it would be like to meet God who loved you? Who bled and died and suffered for you on the cross? To go out and meet the one who saved you and redeemed you and rescued you? Have you thought about the one going out to meet the one who placed His Spirit in you and made you a member of His family, and yet by your forsaking of Him, you've failed to live for Him and you've to serve Him as you ought to have done? Have you ever thought what it would be like to meet God and for Him to review your years of waste? To remind you of the time that you lost, that you could have employed in reaching others with the gospel. Can you imagine, backslider, to go out to meet God tonight in less than 10 minutes and He remind you of the detrimental effect that you had on your loved ones and your family circle with regard to spiritual things? To go out and meet God in that state? for him to reveal the plans that he had for your life, but those plans were never realized because something or someone else caused you to become disillusioned about God, to become bitter in the things of God. What would it be like to go out for you to go out to meet God, having never talked to him in prayer for years? To go out and meet God in now less than 10 minutes, having never read his word in months. Having to go out and meet God, having isolated yourself from the people of God for weeks, have stayed away from the house of God for maybe even decades, to go out and meet God in such a state. Have you ever thought about these things? You should. Because you may die now. You may die in the next 10 seconds. And to go out in such a state, oh, to think of it, to think that you are going to meet your God, your Maker, your Redeemer, and yet you've wandered so far from him, you've departed so far from God. Oh, backslider, don't go out and meet God in that state. You may be wondering how it will fare for those believers who die out of fellowship with God. You ever thought of that? How does it fare with believers who die out of fellowship with God? Well, the person who is genuinely converted and saved will undoubtedly be in heaven. Undoubtedly. They are possessors of eternal life, and that will see to their safe arrival to glory. And yet I want to say that such a person who dies out of fellowship with God, a person who dies in a backslidden state, cannot expect to hear from God those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." You cannot expect to hear that. And you cannot expect to be given the abundant entrance that 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 11 speaks of. There is an abundant entrance given for those who have faithfully followed Christ. You cannot expect to receive that. You cannot expect to receive the same rewards as the individual who was faithfully consistent in their walk with God throughout their Christian lives. Paul speaks about individuals that were saved so as by fire. In other words, they'll get through the gates of glory. But that'll be about it. You cannot expect to hear or experience these things. And so it would be better, backslider, for you to repent of your sin. Your sin. And know immediately the restoring of fellowship and communion with your God, so that whenever death comes, there is nothing between you and the Lord. That's how you want to die. Nothing between me and the Lord. Nothing. Backslider, God has promised that he will restore unto you the years that the locusts have eaten. He restores the soul, the great shepherd. He restoreth my soul. And he can do that tonight. But you need to see your backsliding for what it is. It is sin. It is sin. And it needs as much to be repented of as the sin of murder, adultery, or any other sin you care to mention. The sin of backsliding. But let me address one final grouping of people. And that is the saints of God. You see, you, like the unconverted and the backslider, began this meeting again with 30 minutes to live. What have you done in those 30 minutes? You may say, "Preacher, done. I've sat and listened to you. You could have done other things. There are other things that you could have done. There are other things that you should have done during those 30 minutes. You should have prayed. You should have prayed. to spend your last 30 minutes in prayer and to go out of this world having prayed. You should have prayed. You should have prayed for the preacher. You should have prayed that the preacher would have been filled by the Spirit of God, that he would have been enabled to open his mouth boldly to preach the mysteries of the gospel. You should have prayed for the unconverted who now sit around you. You know them. You know their names. You know at least their faces. You should have been praying that God would open their hearts through this message, that God would impart into them the fear of God, for that's the beginning of wisdom, because there's such a thing as a good fear. Oh, for sinner, if you're tonight afraid that you might die, that fear is to pull you from the brink and to bring you into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Christian, you should have been praying. You should have been praying that God the Holy Spirit would have been present in this place in an extraordinary way. You should have been praying that the Spirit of God would have been regenerating the sinner heart and giving to the sinner the gifts of evangelical faith and evangelical repentance as he listened to the preaching of the Word of God. Christian, you should have been praying in the last 30 minutes. You should have been praying for your backslidden brother or sister who's in this meeting house tonight, that God would show to them the folly of their way and that this night would see their return unto God. You should have prayed for your unsaved family members of home. You should have prayed for your unconverted classmates, your unsaved work colleagues. You should have been praying that God would have broken in and break into their lives and into their hearts and bring them to a knowledge of their own sin and to a place of genuine repentance. Christian, you should have been praying. Praying. Praying that God would save. Praying that God would restore. Praying that God would convict. Christian, you should have been doing something else in the last 30 minutes. You should have been repenting. Repenting. Repenting of your sin. Martin Luther, his first point in the 95 points of contention with the Roman Catholic Church, this was the very first one. When our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said repent, he intended that the entire life of believers should be repentance. To think that our repentance from sin ends when we first trust in Christ is a fallacy. It's a fallacy. I tell you, we sin every day, and therefore every day we need to repent because we sin every day. Now, did you repent in the last 30 minutes? Did you repent of your pride, Christian? Did you repent of your jealousy? Did you repent of your gossiping before this service started? When other people were using their tongues in the place of prayer and you were sitting in this house gossiping, have you repented of that? Have you repented, believer, of your hypocrisy? Have you repented of your lying, your worldliness, your lack of patience, your intemperance, your covetousness, your selfishness? I could go on and on. Oh, we need to be in the place that Paul spoke about when he wrote there in his record, in the Word of God, when he wrote these words, to have a conscious void of offense toward God and toward man. To have a conscious void of offense towards God and man. Why did Paul want to such a conscience? Do you know why he wanted such a conscience? Because he knew that at any moment he could die. And he could go out and meet his Maker and go out and meet his God. And he certainly did not want to die with a conscience that was stained by sin and a conscience that had offenses with regard to his fellow man and, more importantly, with his God. Christian, there's something else you should have done. You should have thought in the last 30 minutes. You should have thought about your opportunities that you missed this week to share the gospel. You should have thought tonight about the family and friends that you failed to bring into this gospel meeting. You should have thought about the life that you lived in this past week that failed to glorify God, and you should have thought that about 3,158 people have died in the last 30 minutes and have gone out to meet God. Individuals, many of which never even heard the gospel. You should have thought. 30 minutes have expired. What have you done in the last 30 minutes? What have you done in that window of mercy, that window of time that God has just given you that is now over? What have you done? Have you repented, sinner? Have you returned, backslider? Christian, have you rededicated your life to God entirely? I fear that for many you have done nothing. You have done nothing. Why? Because you have presumed that God would give you another 30 minutes, that He would simply turn the clock again. And after those 30 minutes, you presume that He's going to give you then another 30 minutes. But I must warn you, and I must warn you, sinner, backslider, child of God, there's going to come a time when you and I are going to enter our last 30 minutes of life. The sobering thought is this, that you may be in those minutes just now. Did you think of that? You may be in your last 30 minutes just now. So may I. In light of that, today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your heart. This is why Paul wrote, "Behold, now is accepted time. Behold, now is a day of salvation." May God speak to your heart. And may God help us to live in light of the nearness of death. May God bring you to Christ. And may you walk the road to Calvary and there meet a Savior from all sin. You come to Christ even now. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's pray. The Apostle James said, "For what is your life? It is as a vapor that appeareth for a little season and then it vanisheth away." May God solemnize this meeting place. I tell you, sinner, you should thank God for His mercy. You could have died in the last 30 minutes without a Redeemer, with sin to your account. You could be in hell just now. You thank God for His mercy, but don't presume on it. Come to the Savior. Waste no more time. Redeem the time. Be saved tonight. Be reconciled to God. Our loving Father, we come before Thee. in our Saviour's precious name. Lord, surely it is the desire of every individual in this place to die, first of all, in Christ, and then to die with nothing between us and Him, or between us and our fellow man. Let us miss nothing of what is laid up for the child of God, but may we live in light of the fact that death is so near us all. Show mercy to the sinner. Take away this foolish thinking that they'll have another hour to live, that they'll have another minute to live, even that they'll have another second to live. We cry to Thee that they will call even now and cry to God, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Answer prayer. And may the fear of God be the beginning of wisdom. And may it propel people to that place of decision, that place where they seek the Lord and they find Him as they seek Him with all their hearts. Answer prayer, for we offer these petitions in and through the Saviour's precious name. Amen.